Today on The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young.
Now, let me tell you something. Very, very significant. Everybody here, even those who think you're something like Nicodemus, need to be born again and set free from the slavery of sin, as was Nicodemus.
The truth is, there's a new life available to you in Jesus Christ. Welcome to The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young. Today, Dr. Young shares the rest of his message, A New Nature, where he offers proven truth about what living a truly transformed life looks like for you. Stay tuned. The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young begins in a moment. Before we jump into Dr. Young's message, there's an encouraging resource offered this month you'll want to know about. It's Dr. Young's five-message series, Overcoming Tough Times. Suffering and difficulties happened before the coronavirus, definitely during, and will continue to happen after this pandemic. But suffering doesn't have to mean defeat. The Old Testament hero Job was an expert on suffering, losing his health, his wealth, and even his loved ones. And in this series, Dr. Young shares God's answers to Job's questions about dealing with tough times and gives you valuable insights to overcoming your own suffering today. We'll send you Overcoming Tough Times as thanks for your donation today to help keep the proven truth of God's Word reaching you and people all over the world through this program. So call now to request your copy of Overcoming Tough Times when you give. Call 1-800-350-WALK. 1-800-350-WALK. You can also text the word WINNING to 41411. Text WINNING to 41411. We want to help you walk the winning walk with Christ every single day. So we've packed our website with practical resources to help you apply God's proven truth to your life, including books, Bible studies, and audio and video files. You can also sign up for Dr. Young's email devotional and even request personal prayer. So visit winningwalk.org for more of the proven truth and personal support you need. That's winningwalk.org. You can also follow your favorite program on Twitter. Our username is Winning Walk. That's Winning Walk. How has the Winning Walk impacted your life? Share your story with us by going to winningwalk.org/mystory. Now, here's Dr. Ed Young with today's message, A New Nature.
Man, threw everything aside and laid in chase. Don't miss the point. The cat's nature was not changed, even though it had been trained, and that's the point. Ladies and gentlemen, someone says to me, well, I've always been a Christian. You know, my mother and dad were Christian. We were brought up in the church. Nonsense. Nonsense. Jesus says we have to be born again and have a new nature, a new appetite, new vision, new insight. That's what it takes to be a follower of Jesus Christ. It takes a new birth. Even Nicodemus, trained, disciplined, moral, erudite, wealthy, had everything, position, political esteem. He had it all, but he had to be born again if he were ever to see the kingdom of God. We're born again, no matter where we are in life. And then Nicodemus was still confused. In other words, the word that I use for Nicodemus here is bewildered. You ever been bewildered? I mean, here was Nick who, man, he was at the top of the line. Here, this prophet whom he just legitimized saying, Nick, you got to be born again. You can't make it on just rules and laws and discipline. You got to be born again. And then we have two how questions asked by Nick. Look at them. I think they're very, very revealing in this conversation at night on top of a roof in all probability. He says, how can a man be born when he is old? He cannot enter a second time in his mother's womb and be born, can he? In other words, you can't go back in your mother's womb and be born again. He took it literal. And Jesus answered, He said, truly, truly, there's our word. Amen, amen. It's absolutely true. I say to you, unless one is born of water, that probably means physical birth. Water breaks, there's the birth. And of the Spirit, that's a spiritual birth. He cannot enter into the kingdom of God. In other words, there is a physical birth in this world. There's a spiritual birth into the next world. A physical birth on earth, a spiritual birth that prepares us now and carries us all the way through to heaven. Then Jesus says, verse 6, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. In other words, flesh begets flesh. A cat doesn't give birth to a dog. Cats give birth to cats. A plum tree doesn't produce watermelons. Plum trees produce plums, and watermelon vines produce other watermelons. Light begets light. When we gave birth to our children were born with our sin, our natural sin within them, just like we were born. We pass that down in lineage. Flesh is flesh, spirit is spirit, and we have to be born again to change our appetites. And then this little verse is so very interesting, and Jesus is speaking to the confusion, the bewilderment, I think, of Nick. And he says, that which is born of flesh is flesh, spirit is spirit. Verse 7, do not be amazed, Nick, that I said to you, you must. That's an imperative. You must be born again. Nick couldn't get it. He had everything. He was saying, you know, I need to be born again. I was pastor before I came here in the First Baptist Church of Columbia, South Carolina. The church is uniquely located. It's right in the heart of that capital city. On one side is literally the wall of the Y, and the wall of the church were this close together. And the Y was basically a flop house for people who had no place to go, and they had several rooms up there, and it drew all kinds of people, you can imagine. Right outside, there was a bus stop. People came from all over the city. Right down the road, there was a Trailways bus station. In front of the church, there was the Baptist Hospital right across the street. And then right up that street, there was the State Institute for those who were mentally insane. And then you go right next door, butting up to the other side of that church I pastored, was the high school, Columbia High School. And then right down the street was the University of South Carolina with 30,000 students. And sprinkled in there were bars of all types and all shapes and all signs. So you can imagine the street traffic that we had. Prostitutes, addicts, all around the street 24/7 from the bars. They would come in drunk and fall into the various doors that would enter the church. Now just imagine, I'm going there to speak, and I'm speaking on John 3 and talking about second chance. You must be born again. And I would go into the church I pastored, which was a prestigious church. The sitting governor was a member. His family would come in a limo and sit on the back. We had the city manager. We had judges. We had politicians. We had doctors. We had people, business people from all walks of life. Typical Deep South, First Baptist Church, all the elite, many generations membership there. And I went in there and told them, no matter who you're from, what you've done, what you've accomplished, what your position is, you've got to be born again. You need a second chance, a fresh beginning. And they would sit there. But I think that message, had I gone out in the streets, which I did, and I would see people who maybe still had needles in their arm, who were still getting over a drunk, who were coming in on a bus to go to the hospital to hope for some answers to those who people were bringing them there to admit them into a home for those who are mentally disturbed. I think out there in the street, I'd say, look, God in Christ can give you a new chance. You can be forgiven. And whatever you did last night doesn't make any difference. God will forgive. God will let you be born again. You'll have a whole new look in life. You know, they were a lot more receptive than those who sat in the pews. You wonder why? Oh, yeah. There was a desperation there. There was a need there. You could have a new beginning. Whatever's happened in the past doesn't make any difference to God. You need to be born again, and Christ has provided a way for you to be born again. So that's the message. Nicodemus was amazed, absolutely amazed that I need to be born again. Then there's that other how Nicodemus asked, the second how question. And he moves down. He said, you must be born again, verse 7. Verse 8, he said, the wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but do not know where it comes from and where it is going. So is someone who is born of the Spirit. Do you think we know today where the wind comes from, which way it's going to go? If you think so, you have been watching all these hurricanes. Well, it could come down this way. We've got one pattern. It moves across this way. We think it's going to be Thursday, but it could be Thursday 3 weeks. They don't know. Don't have a clue. They have patterns and trends and what they believe. The wind is very capricious. God controls it. Thank God that he does. He controls the wind of the Holy Spirit. That's exactly what we're saying here. The Spirit of God blows and it moves and it convicts and it convinces and it causes some who didn't even know they needed it to be born again, to come to Christ, have a fresh, new, beautiful start in life. What an amazing thing. And then there's that how. Nicodemus says, verse 9, how can these things be true? The second how. Jesus answered and said to him, are you, Nick, a teacher of Israel and do not understand these things? In other words, Jesus said, look, Nick, have you read the Old Testament? You're a scholar. Do you not know how the Spirit of God has touched David and changed him? How the Spirit of God led this prophet? Do you not see that all the way through everything you study? What's the matter with you, Nick? The Spirit of God makes all the difference in the world. And then Jesus goes on. Truly, truly, there's our words. I say to you, we speak of what we know, says Jesus to Nick, and testify to what we have seen, and you do not accept our testimony. I told you earthly things, and you do not believe, Nick. How will you believe if I tell you heavenly things? What's he saying? Jesus is saying, look, Nick, I want to tell you something. You've already said, I'm from God. You've already said, my teaching is valid. You've already said all the legitimacy I needed because I am a breath from God itself. And now you won't believe me when I point out to you, for example, that all those John the Baptist baptized, repented and were baptized, they're brand new people by the power of the Spirit. And when they receive me, they'll be born from above. They'll have a brand new, clean, sparkling, transparent life. Don't you get that, Nick? And then that little verse there. Jesus said, no one has ascended to heaven but he who has descended from heaven, the Son of Man. He's saying to Nick, I came from heaven. My home is in heaven and I descended to this earth. And I'm speaking authoritatively about these matters that even somebody as moral, as powerful, as wealthy, as influential as you, you gotta be born again. You gotta be born again. Now, we've got two how questions Nick asked. How can this be? How? But there is that unasked question. And this whole passage kept haunting me. I said, what? It's sort of like there's an elephant in the room, something that's not being asked in this dialogue. And Jesus, I think, perceived that unasked question. And it was not, how can I be born again? Nick kept asking. He really wanted to ask, why do I of all people need to be born again? Jesus' answer is in the next verse. And let me say it up front. The answer is, Nick, you've been bitten by the snake. Nick, you're snake bitten. And he used an Old Testament passage where Nick would get it. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. And then the next verse, he just follows through and he moves on. He says, Nick, so that whoever believes in him will have eternal life. He's talking about the cross. Those Israelites were rebelled. Snakes came and started to bite all of them. They began to die. They were dying, and they went to Moses and said, what can we do? And Moses went to God, and God said, you take a stick and put a bronze snake on that stick, a symbol they'd been bitten by the snake. That's the reason they were dying. They were disobedient. They were sinners. And God said to Moses, hold up that snake on that stick, and everybody who looks at the snake on the stick will be healed. They'll be saved. And they did. And Jesus is saying, this is what's going to happen, Nick. I'm going to be crucified. I'm going to take all the bite, all the sin that's in you and the poison and everybody else, and I'm going to die for that poison so that they might have life. And that is the way they can have a brand new life. They can be born again. That was the answer. Now I've got a question. You read commentaries on this passage, and there are just hundreds of them. I've read. And they're divided on whether or not Nicodemus was a Christian, right? They're equally divided. Well, some say he was a Christian because of this. Some say, oh, no, he wasn't a Christian because of this. Let me tell you something. I am convinced that Nick was a born-again Christian, that he became a born-again Christian. Let me tell you why. Later on, the Sanhedrin, Supreme Court, discussing Jesus, and they were already convicting him, and Nicodemus spoke up and said, look, somebody's innocent until they're proven guilty. You have to have evidence. Everybody's innocent. You have to prove his guilt. You're not giving him a fair trial. He spoke up for Jesus in the Supreme Court. Also, when Jesus was crucified, Joseph of Arimathea, also a member of the Supreme Court, lent Jesus his tomb. He didn't need it very long. Lent Jesus his tomb, and in that passage of Joseph Arimathea also is mentioned Nicodemus, and so that's an assumption also he was Messiah, and one sign would be Nicodemus gave all the myrrh and the aloe that was needed as spice to bury Jesus, as was that custom, and it was over 75 pounds of myrrh and aloe. This was the amount that would be given and spent for someone who would be a king. But that didn't convince me. What nailed down the fact that Nick was indeed born again was, I am sure as a theologian, a scholar, he went back and recalled what happened there on that housetop. And what happened in John 3, and Nick said, you know, when he talked about his body, if it were destroyed, it'd be raised in 3 days. He looked back on that and said, ah, that's what happened. And he looked back on this passage about the snake being lifted up. He said, he died on a cross. And he looked back and talked about Jesus ascending and descending. That would be his Jesus ascent into heaven after appearing 40 days on this earth in his resurrected body, witnessed to by 500 to 1,000 people. Oh, that would be his ascension. And then the wind blowing where it wants to blow, that would be Pentecost. And so Nick had evidence of the major points in the life of Jesus, and I am convinced that Nick at night was a born-again believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, has anybody ever heard of the little place called Nicodemus, Kansas? Anybody ever heard of that? Lift your hand. I've spoken to several thousand people this morning and last night, and nobody's lifted their hand. There is a community called Nicodemus, Kansas. Interesting thing about it, I've told you this before, in the Museum of the Bible in Washington, they have slave Bibles there on a shelf. And the slave Bibles, the slave owners gave those slaves Bibles, but in every one of them, they left out the book of Exodus. They didn't want the slaves to know that you could be set free from slavery like the Jews. They left that book out. But in Nicodemus, Kansas, that was the first community established out in the West following the Confederate War in which slaves were set free, and they realized they were free from human slavery, but also they named it Nicodemus because they were also born again and had new life in Jesus Christ. And they named that community, the first one west of the Mississippi, made up of free slaves, Nicodemus, Kansas. Now, let me tell you something. Very, very significant. Everybody here, even those who think you're something like Nicodemus, need to be born again and set free from the slavery of sin, as was Nicodemus, so he could proclaim and we could complain as those who have been born again, free at last, free at last. Thank God Almighty, we're free at last.
Well, before we leave you today, Dr. Young is here to answer a couple of questions coming out of the message we've just heard. Dr. Young, saying you're a born-again Christian tends to carry a lot of baggage these days. What does the term born-again actually mean?
I absolutely can. One time, a president of the United States asked me that same question. He said, what does it mean to be born again? And I explained to him, it is a total beginning again. It's when someone sells out to God in Jesus Christ and says, look, I'm giving you this old person. Come and give me a new life. And Paul talks about we take off the old and we put on the new. When we put on the new, in the born-again terminology, it's like putting on diapers. We're beginning a brand new life with Christ. And so the symbolism there, the metaphor there, being born again means we've been born once physically. We receive Jesus Christ. We're born brand new spiritually and have a brand new life. That's what it means. It's a wonderful metaphor for what it means to become a son or daughter of God.
Thank you, Dr. Young. You've been listening to The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young. We hope the Holy Spirit is moving through today's message to help you in your own winning walk with Christ. And we want to help you even further by sending you Dr. Young's 5-message series, Overcoming Tough Times. Suffering is an inevitable part of life, but God never leaves you alone in your pain, and He always gives you a way to overcome it. This encouraging series takes you to the book of Job and gives you straightforward answers to the real questions about suffering that we all ask, equipping you with the proven truth you need to experience victory in the midst of your pain. We're excited to send you a copy of Overcoming Tough Times as a thank you for your gift to help keep this program strong, encouraging you and people all over the world with the proven truth of God's Word. So call now to give and request your copy of Overcoming Tough Times. Call 1-800-350-WALK, 1-800-350-9255. You can also text the word winning to 41411. Text winning to 41411. Thanks for being with us today on The Winning Walk. Listen in tomorrow as Dr. Young shares proven truth to help you experience the amazing love of God every single day.